Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, I hope I get to impart something. I hope that it's more than just a clever message or a delivery that is passionate. I hope that something is given to you that will help you with everything that God's called you to be. And no matter who you are, where you are in this place, whether you feel like you don't belong, well, the reality is this, that's irrelevant. Everybody belongs in church. And the church that we often see in our mind is not the church that we're sitting in. And sometimes the greatest restriction between where God wants to take us and where he wants to plant us is our perception of that very thing. I remember I used to think this about God. I was like, man, I am never going to be a pastor because I just thought it would be boring. You know what I mean? No? You guys are much more holy than me. I'm like, it's going to be boring. Everyone's like, no, Chris. I don't think that. Like, I thought it was going to be boring. I thought, like, what do? You know what I mean? Like, preach a message, run a kids ministry. That's it. I was like, I'm not doing that. And then God spoke to me once and he says this, what I have for you is enough for you. I knew exactly what he meant. I knew that I made God this big. I thought that the only thing for me was what I've seen in my perception and the way it was done before. But the reality is God was telling me this, what I have for you is enough for you, meaning he knows you. He knows what you want most. He knows the way he put you together. And your unique view in life is actually the way he created you to be. And on top of that, what he has for you will not contradict it. It will fulfill it. Why do I say that? Because I think that we all have to know that what God has for you is the best for you. It's not second rate. It's not mediocre. It's not boring. It's not, oh, I'm just giving it all up to follow Jesus. Yeah, we're giving stuff up. But here's the thing. You can't outgive God. And I think a big issue with the way we communicate in church sometimes is two things. We don't tell people that there is a sacrifice. And we also don't tell them that the sacrifice is never greater than the reward. Which is a bit of an issue, right? Because if all I keep telling you is, man, Jesus is going to bless you. You're like, sick, awesome. But then you go to Monday. And Monday doesn't always hold what you want. But what if we knew that everything was sacrifice, but no matter how much sacrifice, it was never bigger than the reward? That is like... that's a win-win. That means you are no longer sacrificing as much as you are sowing. What if you were sowing into your... if there's one thing I wish I did different over 7 years of starting our church was sow harder. Because all of us want to harvest, right? Some of you are like, I'm not even a farmer, Chris. Don't even know what you're talking about. Go with it. Harvest, right? We all want we want to reap the reward. But then if you really think about it, harvest is the smallest portion of the whole process. And is briefly enjoyed, but how we enjoy harvest will determine if we have another. Everything actually is about breaking ground and sowing. And the Bible says, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. I want to encourage you that what God has for you is the best. And today's message is about how do you and I get to the best that God has for us. Okay, I want to speak to you from the simple subject, choose your champion. Say it with me because... I just want to know you're here. Choose your champion.
Choose your champion.
You guys got beautiful voices. I think we could sing a song. We don't have time for it, so we're just going to move on. Choose your champion. So my older brother was just such a good older brother. He would take me around the neighborhood and he would fight me. Like he'd push me into little kids and we'd fight. It was a great time. Felt very loved. He's like, Chrissy, that's what he'd call me. Chrissy, come up the road. So I'd go, just super pumped, hang out with my old brother. And there'd be a little kid, and he'd be like, I'm like, smack into the kid. And then he'd go, Chrissy, hit you. Punch him. And I didn't do it. No, I lied, I did do it. But you just looked at me too seriously, and I don't want to be judged. I remember this one time, it went terribly wrong. The father came out. And he starts yelling. The moment I hit him, he starts yelling for his dad. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? My parents were at work. Me and my brother ran back to the house. We run in and my sister's super responsible. She's like, what'd you do? Nothing. Just don't open the door. The kid just yelled for his dad and his dad came out. And this is what I think is amazing. The kid was choosing his champion. He's like, I'm not going to fight this by myself. He got his dad. And his dad came out. And I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever run that fast. I outran my brother. Like, we're sprinting. What if, I know it's a crazy concept, and for all the feelers, you're like, you had a messed up childhood. Well, that's true. That's part of my testimony. But the truth is this. Fights often bump into us and we don't ask for them. And when they do, I don't think it's as much about whether you're a good fighter or not, but what you call on. Because as a Christian, we've been given this right, this amazing ability to choose our champion. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's a good fighter here? Let's just hope your church never goes to battle, okay? Because right now, it's either crowd participation at Lifehouse is at an all-time low, or you just don't like fighting, which that's why you responded to the first story the way you did. Everyone's like, no violence. We drink coffee. Like, I know I'm not the greatest fighter, so I don't want to get into a fight. If I had the option of choosing someone to go for me, how brilliant is that? Like, imagine, how good is that? You get into a massive, that's why I always hung out with Sam Owens. I see how vertically challenged I am. I grew up in Fairfield in Sydney. I'm not hanging out by myself. I'm choosing a champion. But then you get older and you get into life and everyone kind of says this, oh, school's so terrible and school, oh, the schoolyard bully. Life is no different than the schoolyard. And the problem is at that point, you're on your own. When you're trying to figure out marriage, when you're trying to figure out your calling, when you get that doctor's report that comes across in black and white, what do you do? Because I don't think we're the best fighters. And in fact, I don't think we have it in us to do that fight. We need to understand that as a Christian, our privilege, and not just privilege, but necessity for survival and for growth, is we've got to understand that we've got to choose our champion. And we've got to put pride to the side and go, man, I don't need to fight this. There are fights that I need to fight that the Bible speaks to me about, and there are fights that He fights for me. Yeah. We need to fight the good fight of faith. But I don't need to fight against flesh and blood for all of us that have some sort of an issue with somebody. The church has to learn how to get grace for people that are trying to fight against us. We often become cynical and critical to the cities that don't want us in their city. Or the people in our workplace that come against us just because we're a Christian or whatever it might be. Well, the truth is this. The struggle is not with them, but the things that are at work in them. And there are fights that you and I need to learn to show up to. And there are fights that you and I need to learn to walk away from. If you fight the wrong fight, man, you don't want to be in that. I'm not going to even ask if any of you had a fight because I already know that we don't do that here. Have you ever watched one? Probably not. Totally against it. Me either. I had this friend once whose name was Ristopher. Got into a fight in his class and he didn't even have to. And I remember he punched this guy, and the guy looked back at him like this. That's not a good response when you hit someone. You want them to fall, not enjoy it. When you're in a fight that you don't want to be in, oh gosh, there's nothing worse. How many of us in life have engaged in fights that God doesn't even want to be in? We're fighting perceptions and fighting things that He's like, stop. Some of us, we're fighting out of insecurity. We're fighting against the titles that have been given to us. Fighting against personality, fighting against issues. And God's like, I never even asked you to do it. I often get this in Chicago, and this might be controversial here, but it's just real. If real is controversy, then that's a problem. We got a whole bunch of people from the LGBTQ community. I don't know if that's even an acronym that you use here. It's big in America. And they come to our church. And the first thing they ask me is, can I be here? I'm like, yeah, you can be here. If you can let me believe what I believe, and you're okay with that, I'm okay with you living what you live. I'll preach Jesus, and your responsibility is to work it out with Him. If you can stand before him and do, like, you work it out, I'll keep leading us to Jesus. I'll keep bringing us to that. I'll keep doing that. And I say this to them, love is only love when it needs to be have acceptance, not agreeance. If all we can do is agree together, we're never going to get anywhere. But if I could accept you for who you are, but believe in who you're called to be, let's go. But this is the thing. You know how many Christians come up to me and they want me to fight it? Chris, why aren't you preaching on it? Because there's 20. There's about 20 in our church. That's like a minority. Why am I going to preach to one thing that 20 are going through? Do you want me to preach to what's on your laptop? Because I could. And there's probably more problems like that in our church than there is in those 20. Let me preach Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that can change anything. See, when it comes to the fights that society wants to put my church in Chicago, when it comes to those fights, the minute that there's a racial issue in our city, everybody in our church is waiting. Chris, what are you going to say? Are you going to say something, or are you just like the rest? I'm not doing it. You will not put me in a fight that Jesus doesn't want me in. See, the world tries to push us into fights. And the fight is often not about what God wants us to be and everything that the world wants an answer from us for. Why? Because news is about what people want to listen to, not what people want to hear. And we've got to learn in this Christian world, both personally and corporately, that there are fights we need to fight. And the fight to love someone is greater than the fight to point out what's wrong. Last I checked, we all know what's wrong. We just don't know how to fix it. My dad used to come to me and go, how'd you do in your math test? I was like, quite honestly, terrible. I knew I failed. I just didn't know how to pass. That's life for so many. I pray that in this message, you and I learn how to fight. Fight God's way. Fight the things that God wants us to fight. I feel like sometimes Christians just feel like we have to fight everything. Have you ever had the struggle? Probably not. Because so far you haven't responded to anything I've said. It's like, but I just go. He said I'm a faith man. Let's go again. You ever showed up, you're listening to worship at the lights, windows maybe down, and you get to the lights and now you're like this, oh, I better turn it down, but you're like, am I ashamed? No, I'm not ashamed. Then turn it up. Where did that fight come from? Like, someone's on the side going, shout to the Lord. Like, no one's getting saved off that moment. And I think the devil's so good at entangling us in fights that we don't need to be in when there are fights we need. Let's go to 1 Timothy for a second to just frame a little bit more of this, because I hope that out of this, not only do we learn how to fight, I hope as a church we pick more fights. Everyone's like, nah, not for that. You had us almost back. For real though, you have to fight. Peace isn't about the lack of conflict. Peace is your state of heart in the midst of it. The church has to fight. Your family members need you to fight. Your neighborhood needs you to fight. Your next generation needs you to fight. Your best day is waiting for your fight. But it's about the right one. Let's see what Timothy says about this. Ready? It says this, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight for your faith. And a doctor's report is an absolute attack against that fight. There is a fight against your faith. Every promise you're running for that you haven't seen yet, fight on your faith. Every child that you love that is far from Jesus at this moment, there is a fight for your faith. Every time you struggle to believe whether what God says about you is just as true as what you read about you in the Bible, and you're like, oh, is that real? Fight for your faith. And the Bible calls that one a good fight. But then let's go to Ephesians for a second, because it tells us about a different fight. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Two fights. The faith fight's a good one. But the fighting against people, not our call. I wonder how many of us get tired and have nothing left for the good fight because we're busy fighting the wrong fight. See, when I get to heaven, I want to hear good, well done, good, not just good, and faithful servant. Here's my revelation. You cannot stay faithful if you're not faith-filled. The minute I lose faith in my relationship with Audrey, I'm going to struggle to be faithful. But as long as I have faith in the construct of marriage, if I have faith in covenant, if I have faith in conviction that God brought us together, faith in who she is and faith in who I have to be to her, irrespective of who she is, faithful is a byproduct of faith-filled. You want to stay faithful to your call? You want to stay faithful to who God called us to be on this earth? A beautiful expression of his faith, bringing people to Jesus and Jesus to people, faith-filled. We often focus on byproduct when God needs us to focus on root. If the root of your faith is being fueled, faithful is a byproduct. I wonder how many in this place, and I just love this verse because when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, could you imagine how many of us focus more on the good? Like if I was just better, when I get to heaven, he's going to be like, or the angels like, but good and faithful and servant. You ever thought of yourself as servant? Here's the thing about a servant. They have run of the king's house. Here's the thing about a servant. Everything that's at the king's disposal is at theirs. Faithful is difficult. Faithful means you stay. Faithful means you stay the course. Faithful means you don't give up. Faithful is difficult unless you're faith-filled. Good and faithful is what we're going to get to. But we've got to know the fight. You can't fight the things you shouldn't fight, and you've got to know the things you should fight. Most Christians lose battles because they don't know that they should be fighting them. Be careful what you blame on God's sovereignty. I hear people say this. A guy came through my foyer, and I'm like, why are you late? What's going on? He's like, oh, man, you wouldn't believe it. I'm like, probably, but go. He's like, I'm late because, well, let me tell you where it started. Last week, I didn't pay my tithe, and then bam, flat tire. Like God's got a whole, like of all the things he does, he's like, guys, can we also get tithers on the list? And this week, let's just do a blowout, yeah? Thank you. Like, of all the things he sustains on this earth, you're going to pay for it somehow. Like, what? Now, that's a small version, but there's many people in this room that think that your divorce was a product of God trying to teach you something. That your sickness is God trying to teach you something. That your bankruptcy is something God trying to teach you something. Oh, he's trying to humble me. You know what? Life will humble you if you're smart. He's not trying to do that. And we don't engage in the fight of faith, and we don't engage in the fight of getting out of our circumstance because we think God brought it. Don't blame some things on God's sovereignty that is not God. He'll walk you through it, but he didn't put you in it. We've got to understand our struggle is flesh and blood, and every principality that exalts itself against the name of Jesus, another version says, meaning that although it is people that we get frustrated with, like anyone ever been grocery shopping and there's that person that clips your ankles? There's probably no greater test of salvation than that right there. You're walking and smack, you're like, whew. And then the same person cuts in front of you at the line. You're like, smack, take that. It's not people. There's actually a fight in the supernatural for you, for your best day, for your joy, for your peace, for your hope. There is a fight for it. And here's the thing, you and I, we get to choose our champion. When we realize we can't fight it, this is what you and I need to do. And let me just say, what might happen if you and I choose the right champion? Like, what would happen to this church? What would happen to this city? What would happen to your family? What would happen to the things that you're carrying that you're never meant to carry because they're not your fight? You need to choose your champion. Are you ready to choose your champion? Come on now, are you ready to choose your champion? Because this city needs you to choose it. Your best day needs you to choose it. Number one is this: choose Jesus. You get to choose the champion that is Jesus. Can I tell you, I didn't always choose Jesus? I chose skill set over Jesus as my champion. I chose experience as my champion over Jesus. When I started the church, oh man, I was like so humble. You just had to ask me. I was like, small church pastors. Oh my gosh. They obviously don't know about good worship and like just starting on time and like AC and choosing a good venue and like leadership dev and like being a great speaker. Like, obviously, I go in there. I chose the wrong champion. The champion was Chris. The champion was experience and skill set and pride. And I rocked into the arena. Smack. I got beat around for the first 4 years of our church because I chose the wrong champion. I didn't realize that it is God that is the God of the harvest. He is the God of the increase. That Paul planted, Apollos watered, or whichever way that goes, but God brings the increase. How many of us are fighting for increase instead of fighting for faithfulness and excellence? Isn't that cool? You don't have to fight for increase. You don't need to fight for growth. You don't need to fight for more. All you and I got to fight for is stewardship. He leaves the talents with them and he says, you are faithful with little. Now I'll give you more. How many of us are fighting for increase? Because we chose the wrong champion. When Jesus is my champion, he brings the increase. When Jesus is my champion, he brings it over the line. When Jesus is my champion, I don't need to fight the fight that I put myself in. When I started People Church, I chose the wrong champion. But let me tell you where I chose the right champion. After our first miscarriage. We've had four of them. See, it's easy to look at people's success on the outside and think it happened overnight. It's easy to think that, oh, God just favors them more. Time and chance happens to us all. And it's who we allow our seasons to make of us that'll determine whether we'll be ready when time and chance finds us. Don't look at yourself as a victim. Look at yourself as somebody in training. Wait, prep, develop, stay faithful. Time and chance is coming your way. So we've had eight pregnancies, but we've got four children. The first one was the hardest. You're excited and we lost it. And I remember sitting there in the waiting room, angry at God. And I remember thinking, man, we just gotta eat better. We gotta, like, man, I don't know, like, what do we have to do? And I just stopped and I thought, you know what? No. I would rather go down in defiance to an enemy, but staying absolutely faithful to my King. And I got Jesus where I could have put him aside and started taking on everything else and knowledge and thoughts and bitterness. No. Because by the way, not all champions that we choose are logical. Bitterness can enter the ring more often than Jesus does. I put Jesus back in the ring. Here's the thing, we fall pregnant again. We go to do our ultrasound, that's around 7 month ultrasound, I think 7 or 8 month. And they say this, your child has no abdomen. No abdomen. He's gonna be deformed, like that's just, we're gonna send you over to Brisbane for another ultrasound. Something rose in Audrey and I. And rather than going to that ultrasound, which I believe was one of our greatest battles, I could have chosen to go in with defeat as my champion. Defeat's a terrible champion because it just surrenders the moment it enters the ring. No, we put Jesus back in that ring. We put Jesus back in that arena. All of a sudden, the report comes back. We don't know what they were doing. We don't understand. We don't even understand. We don't have their imagery, but we don't see how they could have arrived at it. He is normal. He is fine. You have a fine baby. It's gonna be okay. See, Jesus was actually in the arena that day when Chris and Audrey had to step down. Here's the awesome thing. Are you tired? Jesus wants to step in for you. Are you just like so overburdened by life? Jesus wants to step into you. Are you tired of fighting the fight of peace? Jesus wants to fight for you. He brings peace. He brings hope. How often are we in an arena that God doesn't want us in? It's like being a lightweight in a heavyweight's arena. You don't need to be there. Choose your champion. The second champion, can you go to John for me? And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Holy Spirit. Man, I was afraid of the Holy Spirit when I first got saved. No. First of all, we got to think about a branding strategy or something. Because my sister, who was the forerunner of, you know, Christians in our family, I was going through something. She goes, Chris, you just need to ask the Holy Ghost. Look, I love that he's a Holy Ghost, but he's still a ghost. I'm not sure that I'm ready for that. Like, scared me. I had a crazy dream one night, and I call her, I go, what is this? She goes, well, you got to pray to God and just ask the Holy Ghost. I'm like, no, did you not hear? It is a dream that was crazy, and you want me to invite the Holy Ghost? No. She needs to explain to me, like, the whole thing. Holy Spirit, I'm like, okay, what? Spirit, I'm better with that. You know what we treat the Holy Spirit like? Like the poor cousin. Like the cousin that has to go on the journey with everybody, you know? Like we don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. We're like, Jesus, love you. Father. You always got to be more holy and British when you say Father. And then Holy Spirit, we're like, all right, you can come. He's not the lesser of the three. Holy Spirit, as much as we go, oh, but I just don't know if he's the one that makes it normal, by the way. Holy Spirit is the one that makes this whole journey normal. You're like, how? Still don't get it. Holy Spirit is the one that creates the God moment. See, there's a difference in the Bible between the Spirit in you and the Spirit on you. You see, even Jesus in the temple, the Spirit is upon me. Two, heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit on him. You see it with David. You see it all over through the Bible that when the Spirit of God is on someone, it does something. It's like it comes upon them and they have boldness. They have the ability. See, when you are sitting there trying to evangelize someone and you don't account for the fact that the Holy Spirit needs to actually do something in that moment, all that happens is you're speaking to ground that has not been broken or toiled yet. The thing that makes church weird is when we do things that we're trying to go into avenues that the Holy Spirit hasn't asked us to go in. So now it's not a God moment, it's a you forced moment. What does it look like to put the Holy Spirit in the arena? Choose your champion. Number two is the Holy Spirit. You're sitting there wondering what's next? Are you sitting there wondering if you should marry the person you're with? Are you sitting there wondering if you should really launch out and do college or internship? Are you wondering if you should start that business? Let me tell you, you're not going to find it in the Bible. You're not. Like, there's nowhere it says, Jordan Barrett. You won't find it in the English. It's in the Hebrew. Like, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? There's not a section in the Bible called the Book of Internshipolothians. It's not there. In fact, this is scary. There was a group of people in the Bible that were well-versed in the Bible yet missed God in it. Isn't it crazy that you could know his word and yet not know him? And in Matthew and John, it explains it for us. It says that he spoke in parables, stories, allegories. So that those that did not have his spirit would not be saved. Meaning, the only way to actually understand and hear him and understand his word is when his spirit is on us. What if the missing link between our issues with his word and who he is the context that is brought by the Holy Spirit? We call this a spirit-led life. At People Church, we call it our life, his edit. Because Christians typically say this, oh, it's not my life. You ever try to give a Christian a compliment? Bro, I love your shoes. Man, you're looking good today. I tell you, he was guiding my hairspray. We love saying, oh, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. Hey, go speak to this person, it's mine, not doing it. We love saying it's ours or it's his, but then we edit it. Well, the reality is God gave you a life. And in a moment, you're going to get to choose to either give it to him. You're going to get to choose to invite him into it. It's your life, but he needs an invitation. It's your life, but he should reserve the right to edit it. The Holy Spirit as your champion is superior heavenly, perspective that allows you to go places you could never go before. That's what it does. Imagine having intel. Any guy here just want to be Jason Bourne? Me either. Different message, different crowd. Jason Bourne, like I just want to be him, you know? He just knows everything. If I'm ever in a fight, I'm doing this. Hopefully they've seen the movie. We need to live with our life, with our ear, to the Holy Spirit. God, what's next? God, what have you got for me? God, where are you calling me? You know what the Holy Spirit has done for me? He's spoken to me about things that I would never have fought for myself. The Holy Spirit has been the one that has often pushed me in the arena that I need to go in and kept me out of the ones that I don't. The Holy Spirit is the one that's given me peace. The Holy Spirit is the one that's given me words of knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the one that has guided where we go as a church. You got to choose your champion. And the last champion is this. If you could go over to Galatians for me, it says this. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, I had confidence issues growing up. I was told I was fat. I was. I was told like all sorts of things. I couldn't read properly until grade 6. And it overnight just joined the highest reading group. But up until then, I was in ESL with perfect English. Mum and dad divorced at 8. Just huge, just confidence. I think an open door happened in my life at some point. The enemy saw an opportunity and he attacked me in my strength. My strength being a true understanding of my God-given identity. I became a youth pastor. And when I became a youth pastor, I thought, for sure, my pastor's going to come up any moment and tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, come on. The jig is up. We know who you are. Come. Well played, though. Well played. I just thought people were going to really see that I was a fraud. I was dating Audrey at the time, and I told her this. I was like, Auds, before we go any further, you got to know who you're getting involved with. You've done everything right. You've lived your life for Jesus, but man, I've done everything wrong. Everything you've stopped doing, everything you never did, I did in excess. You don't want to be with this person. I just didn't want her to turn around 5 years in and see me for who I really was. The reality was I was mistaken. I think many of us are mistaken. Many of us come to church and we hear great words from Pastor Richard and Pastor Helen, and they say things and they single you out and they say you're great. And what you really think is this, someday they're going to know. They're going to know who I really am. They're going to know. And we associate more with our bad habits than our redeemed perspective. We associate more with the temper tantrum we had last week than we do with God saying that we are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And this is a thing that the devil, the Bible says, he is an accuser of the brethren. Here's the thing in Chicago. If I get a ticket, like a speeding ticket, if I show up to court and the cop that booked me doesn't, I go free. That's it. If no one's there to contest it, it sticks. If I don't show up and he does, it sticks. Heaven's no different. The devil shows up to heaven every day accusing the brethren. Who do you think you are? Why should you? You don't deserve to pray. Why would he give you healing? Why would he give you your promise? You don't deserve it. We know what you did. You were at the clubs. You don't get it. Nah. But the Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The redeemed you needs to show up to the courts of heaven. And the redeemed you has to say, yeah, I'm here, but there's an issue here. See, everything he's saying I did, I've actually been paid for by Jesus Christ. So, therefore, I deserve to be here. I deserve a good marriage. I deserve my joy. I deserve my peace. I deserve to be free from depression. I deserve to be free from anxiety. I deserve to be called leader and pastor. You know why? Because I'm not doing it in my strength. I chose my champion. And it's not Chris Carmona, and it's not anybody else. It is the Spirit of the living God that is upon me in the name of Jesus. I'm standing here not on my own.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.